The reading this morning is from Ezekiel chapter 1. We'll be reading from a few different sections, so I'll tell you as we move on. Starting at Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1. In the 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day, while I was among the exiles by the Kabar River, the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. On the fifth month, it was the fifth year of the exile of King Jehoiakim, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, by the Kabar River, in the land of the Babylonians. There the hand of the Lord was upon him. I looked, and I saw a windstorm coming out of the north, an immense cloud with flashing lightning and surrounded by brilliant light. The center of the fire looked like glowing metal, and in the fire was what looked like four living creatures. In appearance, their form was that of a man, but each of them had four faces and four wings. Their legs were straight, their feet were like those of a calf, and gleamed like burnished bronze. Under the wings, on the four sides, they had the hands of a man. All four of them had faces and wings, and their wings touched one another. Each one went straight ahead. They did not turn as they moved. Verse 22. Spread out above the heads of the living creatures was what looked like an expanse, sparkling like ice and awesome. Under the expanse, their wings were stretched out, one towards the other, and each had two wings covering its body. When the creatures moved, I heard the sound of their wings, like the roar of rushing waters, like the voice of the Almighty, like the tumult of an army. When they stood still, they lowered their wings. Then there came a voice from above the expanse over their heads as they stood with lowered wings. Above the expanse, over their heads, was what looked like a throne of sapphire. And high above, on the throne, was a figure like that of a man. I saw that from what appeared to be his waist up, he looked like glowing metal, as if full of fire, and that from there down he looked like fire, and brilliant light surrounded him, like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the radiance around him. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. When I saw it, I fell face down, and I heard the voice of one speaking. He said to me, "Son of man, stand up on your feet, and I will speak to you." As he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. He said, "Son of man, I'm sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have been in revolt against me to this very day. The people to whom I'm sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says." Chapter 2, verse 9. Then I looked, and I saw a hand stretched out to me. In it was a scroll, which he unrolled before me. On both sides of it were written words of lament and mourning and woe. And he said to me, Son of man, eat what is before you. Eat this scroll. Then go and speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he gave me the scroll to eat. Then he said to me, Son of man, eat this scroll I'm giving you, and fill your stomach with it. So I ate it, and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. Chapter 3, verse 10. And he said to me, Son of man, listen carefully and take to heart all the words I speak to you. Go now to your countrymen in exile and speak to them. Say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, whether they listen or fail to listen. Then the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard behind me a loud rumbling sound. May the glory of the Lord be praised in his dwelling place. The sound of the wings of the living creatures brushing against each other, and the sound of the wheels beside them, a loud rumbling sound. Then the Spirit lifted me up and took me away. And I went in bitterness and in the anger of my spirit, with the strong hand of the Lord upon me. I came to the exiles who live at Tel Aviv, near the Kabar River. And there, where they were living, I sat among them for 7 days, overwhelmed.
Good morning. It's so good to be back with you. It really is a delight to see so many faces we know and to see so many that we don't know as well, either who have come to Fairfield Church over the past 2.5 years since we've been gone, but also those through the generation, through the decades as well. It's brilliant and it's a wonderful, wonderful day to celebrate God's faithfulness to us, the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. So happy birthday. Happy birthday. And I was thinking about birthdays, and you know who else is turning 70 this year or has turned 70 this year? NHS. So I thought, NHS, can I crowbar that in? So I did. And Walker's Crisps. They're the other ones turning 70 this year. You go for it.
Sorry.
That's all right. Excellent. How are we doing? I'll say some S's. That sounds better, doesn't it? Excellent. Okay. So on your birthday, I was thinking about birthdays, but both the NHS and the Walker's Crisps weren't really quite, they didn't really cut it. They didn't really cut it. So I went to someone else who had a birthday. And on your birthday, as we celebrate together, I want to bring a message to you from another who had a birthday and who met with the Lord God Almighty. Your 70th birthday. Ezekiel turned 30. Ezekiel turned 30. Right at the start of chapter 1 there, it tells us, in my 30th year, and I know that we don't necessarily say it quite like that today, but that, scholars say, is Ezekiel telling us it's his birthday. On my 30th birthday. Three birthday gifts that Ezekiel received unexpectedly on his birthday that I think the Lord Jesus has for Fairfield Church on your 70th birthday. You see, turning 30 for Ezekiel was hugely significant. Hugely significant. There in verse 3 of chapter 1, it tells us that he's a priest. His father was a priest. His grandfather was a priest. He goes back and back, and all along the line, they're all priests. He was destined to be a priest. And you see, 30 was the age at which Ezekiel the priest was going to start his work. You can go find that in Numbers chapter 4 this week if you want to read about that. But he had the training and he's done the work experience. And he's passed all the exams, perhaps, if they had exams. And he's ready. He's ready to be a priest. He's ready to take up that work. Except he's among the exiles. He's among the exiles in Babylon. There's no temple to be a priest in. There's no Jerusalem to have a temple in, to be a priest in. Being a priest makes sense when there's a settled trust in the Lord God. Where's the culture surrounding, supporting a proper worship? And then the work is good, and the work is routine, and the work is stable and tolerated, more than tolerated. It's highly esteemed, and it has a good reputation. But when the surrounding culture changes and nothing is the same anymore, when there's exile, what happens then? Because Ezekiel in exile, and all that sense of right worship of the Lord God is gone. It's gone. What happens when the surrounding culture turns hostile? What happens when it's dangerous to be worshippers of the one true God? The problem with priest is that it's representative of a comfortable, stable religion, essentially functioning along cultural norms, which works when all worship the living God, but doesn't work at all when they don't. Ezekiel finds himself turning 30 on the cusp of a job that he knows he'll never do. So here he is on the river with the exiles in Babylon on his birthday and not starting the job he was prepared to do. And then bam! God turns up. God turns up. God turns up and he brings three gifts to Ezekiel. Gifts that I imagine Ezekiel certainly didn't expect and may not even want. By the end of receiving them, I think he did. These are the three gifts from Ezekiel. Seeing the glory of the Lord, he saw the glory of the Lord. The second one is that he accepted the burden of the Lord. And the third one, he declares the word of the Lord. These are the three gifts that God gives Ezekiel that I believe the Lord Jesus Christ would have for Fairfield Church on their 70th birthday, on your 70th birthday, on our 70th birthday. So I hope you got a little confused by the convoluted start to chapter 1 when we try to grasp God's glory. There's so much to describe there that Ezekiel can't quite do it justice. So we have the storm in verses 3 and 4. Babylon, remember Babylon invaded Judah from the north. Well, now from the north comes one more powerful. At the center of this windstorm is a fire that glows, glowing metal inside the fire. Judgment and holiness are represented as they come towards Ezekiel. It doesn't stop there. There's the living creatures, verses 5 to 14, each one representing the strongest in creation. They have faces, they have wings, and they move, and there's flashing fire between them as they go. Then there's wheels, and the wheels turning, and they're full of eyes, and they're always seeing. Always moving with the creatures, expressing, giving sight to what God can see in his sovereignty over everything. And then there's the dome or the expanse above. The awesome is something like a great dome above as the creatures move along underneath it. The wheels are sounding like the crashing of a waterfall, even like the voice of the Lord God Almighty. And it's not even over yet. And above that expanse, he sees a throne. And on that throne is one who looks like the Son of Man. The appearance and the likeness of the glory of God is there before his eyes, and he can't take it in. Who is this one like the Son of Man? You see, Ezekiel, as he describes it, has the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. He can't get to the glory of the Lord, so it's at least two steps back. Here is the voice and the presence of the living God, reigning supreme. Over the chaos, over the seeming chaos of the glory of the Lord coming, but then over the chaos of Ezekiel being on that riverside, not in Jerusalem, not as a priest, with the exiles. All the way through, Ezekiel can only sort of pinch and try to find something that describes what he's seeing. But he sees it. And then what does he do? Falls on his face before the glory of the God. When I saw it, I fell. on my face. Ezekiel, desperate amongst the exiles, on his 30th birthday, anticipating something he's never going to do, a role that he thought called to that's never going to happen, needed a vision of God in exile. And the message is loud and clear. It's loud and clear. I, the Lord, your God, am still in charge. You may be in exile, but I am still in charge. Folks, we need this same vision today. We need the same vision today. Because our danger culturally as church in the West is that we have too much of God's imminence, his closeness to us. Too much of his closeness that we forget about the glory and his otherness. Now, don't get me wrong. Of course, God sent Jesus to reveal himself to us, and he does that in the glory and the wonder and the majesty of the cross, his death and resurrection. But there is more still to God's glory. He's present with us by his Holy Spirit. Absolutely. And he is good and he is loving, but we need to make sure we do not lose this vision of the glory of God, supreme and sovereign over all circumstances. Revealed in Christ and revealed in glory. This is not just an Old Testament thing. Run ahead with me. And this is, if you can read that, Revelation, where John sees a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's among the lampstands. My eyesight's gone in 2.5 years. I have to read that one. Among the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, golden sash around his chest. His hair was on his head was white like wool, as white as snow. Eyes were blazing fire. His feet bronze, glowing in a furnace. His voice was the sound of rushing waters. Recognize that one? In his right hand, he held 7 stars, coming out of his mouth with a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining. Brilliance. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. I fell at his feet as though dead. The challenge for us, when we grapple, particularly as we're going into Advent and we celebrate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, so he's God as we can understand, we can grasp, who needed to come that we might be rescued from sin and death. We grasp that along with his glory. If we have too much imminence, too much, we then are tempted to put God in a straitjacket and think of him as too much like us. And I can't change our world, and I can't change most of the situations in my life. But God is sovereign, and he can. God is sovereign. And even if he doesn't, he is still sovereign. Fairfield Church is going to be faithful in mission and witness and proclamation of the gospel for another 70 years. This is the first gift to receive today. We're not going to get on to the other two unless we've got this one. The other two are going to pass us by. This one is the one we need. Accepting the burden of the Lord is the second gift. And only after, like I say, the glory of the Lord has been seen is Ezekiel able to accept the burden of the Lord. And this is a strange one. Anybody want to burden for their birthday? Not me. Ezekiel's perspective is that actually born into a priestly family brought status amongst the people. Acceptance, job security. Ezekiel, the priest, that's not a burden. But God isn't calling him to be a priest now. He's calling him to be a prophet, and that is a burden. Ezekiel's role, his new role as prophet, is 1,000,000 miles away from the socially acceptable job of priest. The role, of course, of prophet doesn't predict the future, but carries a message from the living God. And it leads that message into life in the margins, because it requires a constant obedience to the Lord, constant faithfulness to the call and to the caller, in the face of ever-changing responses, inside and outside the church. The Lord is incredibly clear with Ezekiel. As a prophet, did you notice it came up again and again through chapters 2 and 3? As a prophet, he will not enjoy the favor of his friends and his family and his colleagues that he may well once have expected. That won't happen now. He'll have to take a message to a nation who have rebelled and rejected their God. and he'll have to remain faithful to the call and the message and the caller, even when they do turn and repent and come back, but more often even when they don't and they shout him down. Here is the burden, the second birthday gift from God to Ezekiel, the second birthday gift from the Lord to Fairfield Church. Hear the call to be a prophet as a call to faithfulness to God revealed in Jesus Christ, no matter what the cost, no matter what the responses of those around us is. What does it mean? How might we sort of play that out and flesh that out a little bit? There are three things that are mentioned in Ezekiel that I think we need to grasp and understand and grapple with and actually take on if we're going to accept the burden of the Lord. The first one is this. Eat this book. Eat this book. We need to know God's word. We need to know this. We've got to know it. Eat this book, says the Lord to Ezekiel. Fill your stomach with it. It's essential that he essentially gets the message into him, that he becomes part of the message itself, that it becomes not even second nature, just first nature to Ezekiel. If we're to accept the burden of the Lord, we need to grapple and grasp and eat this book so that actually, in a mysterious and wonderful way, we exhibit the truth that we live by every word that comes from the mouth of God and not by bread alone, as Jesus said as he was tempted in the wilderness. It also means that we need to be empowered by the Spirit. The very ability to accept the burden of the call of the prophet for Ezekiel, if you noticed in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 2, is instigated by God himself. The Spirit lifted me up. The voice of God said, stand up. God did this. God enabled Ezekiel to take on the burden himself. Remember Jesus' words to his disciples right in the beginning of Acts when he was about to ascend. Wait here until you receive power from on high, and then you'll be my witnesses to the whole world. That's what a prophet is, a witness to the truth of God in Jesus Christ, faithfully speaking that gospel. And then it means being courageous. And it's the last one. We've got to get the word, we've got to get the Spirit, and then we can be courageous. Because the burden of the Lord will lead us, will lead you into fearful places where people do reject the message and reject you. That simply will happen. But it'll also lead us to surprising places, to wonderful places, with surprising responses from people we thought would never respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need courage for that. And courage, of course, isn't the absence of fear. It's carrying on, because we know and we've seen the glory of the Lord, and we know that he is sovereign over everything. So in the midst of fear, we can have courage and carry on. Faithful to Jesus Christ by being faithful to the task regardless of the response. The second birthday gift. Will you accept the burden? The third birthday gift is sort of hot on the heels of the second birthday gift, and it is declaring the word of the Lord. Declare the word of the Lord. Verse 4 of chapter 3 says this, Son of man, go now and speak my word to the people. Speak my words to the people. We've got to remember that words are incredibly important. Even in our culture of increasing streaming and imaging and social media, words remain vital. If you know anything about Ezekiel, if you know the book, if you've read the book, he's quite a visible prophet. That actually his actions are part of God's message to the people, a metaphor in some ways. But he still has to speak to them. And someone still had to write it down. For us. And his words weren't always easy. In fact, often they weren't at all easy to hear or pleasant. They were full of warning and telling the people that actually continue down this road of rebellion and rejection of the living God, there is only judgment and condemnation to come. But they were also full of promise and the possibility of hope and restoration and redemption and salvation. Turn and God will make a way. Turn back to him and he'll make a way. And of course, we get the privilege of living this side of Jesus Christ and we know how he's done it. We know how he's done it. But then hear the message for us. Hear the message for Fairfield Church. For sometimes we live under the assumption that our actions are enough for the gospel to be made clear. And it is, of course, vital, and make sure you hear me on this, it is vital that our actions are congruent with our words, but it's not true that actions alone will suffice for the prophet. If we ourselves are to be faithful to the burden of the Lord, having seen the glory of the Lord, we will need to speak. We'll have to declare the word of the Lord. Our speech is important. So the result of Ezekiel seeing the glory of the Lord and accepting the burden of the Lord is to then to declare the word of the Lord, no matter whether people listen to you or they don't listen to you. They'll listen to you, they won't listen to you, not your problem. The Lord is in charge of results. Our call is to be faithful to declaring the word of the Lord, to declaring the gospel. The results are the responsibility of the Lord Jesus, not us. We know, don't we? We know that sin hardens hearts. Sin still hardens our hearts, and we are saved, being saved, and will be saved. Sin hardens the hearts of those who don't know the Lord yet, but might and can, and we're praying will. So much so that so often we would prefer to hear lies that bring us comfort, that confirm our preconceived beliefs or ideas, than to hear truth that brings conviction and leads to repentance. Think about our cultural landscape at the moment, where people tend to be within their own bubble and don't want to listen to anything outside of that. Tend to embrace fake news, even, that confirms what they already think, as opposed to engage in real debate about what others might think. But it's our responsibility to witness to the wonderful works of God, of salvation in and through Jesus Christ, which means we have to speak it. We have to share the gospel. We won't be able to do it unless we've seen the glory of the Lord and accepted the burden of the Lord. But if we have done those two things, we can't but declare the word of the Lord. So will you, Fairfield Church, be the church that boldly speaks the gospel to those who need to know repentance, to know the love and the grace and the mercy and the justice and the hope that there is in Jesus Christ? Of course, this doesn't happen in a vacuum. It never happens in a vacuum. Verses 12 to 15, at the end of our reading in chapter 3, the Spirit, the glory of the Lord is on the move, and the Spirit takes Ezekiel up and takes him back and places him with the exiles along the river in Babylon. And there he sits and is distressed for 7 days. Ezekiel isn't separate from the people for whom the message has come for him to deliver to. Declare the word of the Lord, but declare it living amongst the people. We can't be witnesses the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can't be declaring the word of God if we're isolated from the world around us, from the people who need to hear. So along with the job of declaring the word goes the equal and vital need for compassion for the lost and the broken and the sinful who are around us every single day. If we don't have that compassion, something's going to go wrong. If we don't have that compassion, we haven't truly seen the glory of the living God. We haven't fully accepted the burden of the Lord, and we're not properly declaring his word. We can't speak the word of the Lord to people if we don't know the people to whom we're sent to. So get out. Break down these walls. Don't let a birthday celebration turn you inward into reveling in the continuity of this church. You know, you and I are only here by the grace of God in Jesus Christ himself. And don't let it turn us backward as if there was some kind of golden age back then. It's a great lie. Instead, get out of here. After this day of celebrating the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, which is absolutely right and appropriate, let's get out. Let's go live amongst the people who need to hear Jesus' call to repentance, because the kingdom of God is here. Get out and start the adventure of sharing the gospel with friends and with families and colleagues and neighbors and even people you don't know. As you begin the next 70 years of Fairfield Church life. So let's draw to a bit of a close. I've offered you three gifts this morning that Ezekiel received from the Lord God Almighty, and I think and I believe that the Lord Jesus would have you, Fairfield Church, receive as you enter the next 70 years. Three gifts. And the call to you, Fairfield Church, on your 70th birthday is this: will you hear the call of Christ to be a prophet, individually and as a community, to renew your sense of the glory and your understanding, your grasp and your sight of the glory of the Lord in Jesus Christ, to accept the burden of the Lord, and then to declare the word of the Lord, the call to take on the obedience that Jesus requires for the faithful proclamation of his hard and joyful call of repentance and cross-carrying and forgiveness and justice and salvation and hope in the midst of an increasingly intolerant, hard, ridiculing, and yet society that is still at core, starving for the truth of Jesus Christ. Will it be prophet? Or will you settle for the role of priest, a comfortable, ordered, religious function that kind of carries on along cultural norms, seen as an asset to godless societies, is generally obedient to the fluctuating values of the day, safer, more comfortable, absolutely, but wholly empty. Empty of any real hope, empty in the end of any real justice or joy, or any real grace, truth, mercy, empty of Jesus himself. On your 70th birthday, prophet or priest, that's the call of the kingdom. Do you hear it? How will you respond? We're going to take a moment in quiet now, just to think that through ourselves. Then I'll pray, and then we're going to respond in song. And the song is Hear the Call of the Kingdom. It's a deliberately upbeat song that recognizes the King of the Kingdom, but declares our commitment to living a life as Jesus' disciples, as children of the light, declares our desire to reach out for the lost, to bring broken and sinful yet loved by Jesus people the message of the cross of Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, of hope and of peace, of justice, forgiveness. It's a declaration of intent, the song, a declaration of intent, that I hope you will sing with some gusto as a joyful, prayerful response this morning. But first, a bit of quiet, then I'll pray, and then we'll hand over to the band. Father God, we want to see your glory again. We want to see your glory afresh. Would you forgive us when we make you so small as to kind of tie you up in a straitjacket? Would you forgive us when we make you so much like us and our reflection that in the end you cease to be the true and living God who Jesus came to reveal and to show and to make a way to. But in the same breath, we give you thanks and praise for Jesus himself, who does make a way clear for us to come to you as we turn back to you, who deals with our sin and the wrath of God and gives us forgiveness and new life and resurrection life still to come and grace that is yet to be revealed and all that that is. So show us your glory again. that we may accept the burden to be prophets in this place. To these people, our immediate neighbours at Fairfield Church, but each one of our neighbours and friends and circles of influence. Fill us again with the power of your Holy Spirit for a passion for your word, but also a compassion for the lost. Work in our hearts this morning as we rejoice for 70 years of witnessing to Jesus Christ. Work in us now that there may be, by your grace, 70 more. In Jesus' name.